Well, it's a joy to be here, isn't it? Like, I just love coffee hour mornings so much. I just want to, first of all, thank the ladies that have come up to me and said, I've been praying for you. Because I got sick Sunday morning, and I went, okay, Lord, I must be speaking somewhere. But my sore throat cleared up, and here I am, and it's a joy to be here. And thank you, Stephanie. I really appreciated that this morning. It's so exciting. I still have grandkids in school, and it's exciting that this is coming in. So I'm starting with a disclaimer this morning. I'm going to begin with this disclaimer because the danger, the hazard of standing up in front of everybody and picking a topic is that they think you got it all together and you know what you're talking about. I don't have a handle on it. I chose to speak on rest, the promise of rest, because I'm still in process. I remember so many times how God has met me with his rest in my life, and some of those incidences I will share with you. But I'm still learning and growing as you are, so let's remind ourselves from God's word about how to find the rest he's promised us. And I'm just going to step back for a second and just ask the Lord to give his guidance and his peace throughout this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are present here. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is among us. And we pray, Lord, that whatever you want to give our hearts this morning, that our ears would hear, our hearts would receive, our lives would be changed, because that's what you're so good at. And we need to enter your rest. So please help us as we look into your word to receive these things from you, that our lives would be changed and we would go home with joy and gladness, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I would like to read from Psalm 37. I'm sorry, these are going to be on and off today. Psalm 37 is where this verse is found, and it starts off, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not." I'm going to stop right there. This picture is from where we used to live in Leburn, and it was the path to my neighbor's house, and I just loved that view that morning as we walked down the path. This year in Coffee Hour, we're sharing God's promises with you. And the one I chose is God's promise of rest. It's one I'm still trying to grasp and understand and walk in. We know God's promises are true, but sometimes rest seems elusive. We live in restless times. I decided to see what God says about rest for our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. And the Bible has something to say about each one of them. This is not an exhaustive study, but more of a personal topical study. When we were in Bible college, I remember Jack Carell encouraging us to find the first and the last mentions of whatever topic we were studying. So the next picture is from Genesis 2, verse 2. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made." The first verse about rest in the Bible is God's rest. God didn't rest because he was exhausted. God rest because it meant his work was done. He ceased from work. The last mention of the word rest in the Bible is in the next picture, Revelation 14, verse 13. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Here we have the tribulation saints who die and are most likely martyred for believing in Jesus. They're promised rest from all of their works that their labors will be rewarded. So God rest, he ceased from working, and at the end of time, his children will rest from all their pain and their suffering, and their rewards will follow them. Isn't that beautiful? So this kind of sets the tone for biblical rest. When you and I want rest, we're usually talking about getting a nap or trying to get away from the misery or the hectic busyness of life. So what else does God promise about rest that applies to you and me? Let's look at God's word for some insight into our need for physical rest. The next picture, I love this next picture. That's our little grandson, Maverick. And we were down at Bass Lake, and he was throwing stones in the water and just having the best time, and I was having the best time watching him. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Stephanie actually just talked about John the Baptist in the earlier part of this chapter. But this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We find Jesus and his disciples are in such an extremely busy time of ministry that they didn't even have time to eat. Jesus says, come away to a quiet place and rest a while. I love this. The disciples had just been excitedly relaying to Jesus all that they'd been doing and teaching, and Jesus saw their need of rest. Sometimes in ministry, in work at home, or our jobs, we face the threat of burnout. Sometimes our bodies fail under the busyness. When I got sick, when we were in missions work, we had to leave our place of ministry, had to leave friends, we had to leave everything, we had to go away completely. We ended up in Leeburn. There's nothing in Leeburn. Some wonderful people, but we had no neighbors for a mile on either side. We had to go away completely to a quiet place for a long time, and we actually stayed there for about 10 years. The Lord sees your exhaustion. He wants you to rest. He doesn't want you to feel guilty about taking time to be restored. Jesus is speaking here to his beloved followers, and he's speaking to us too. Come away with me and rest a while. It was during those years of illness and solitude that I experienced the preciousness of intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ as I came away with him. That's also when I started writing devotions on Facebook. I was sharing what Jesus was becoming and saying into my life. Do you remember the prophet Elijah's exhaustion after God's victory over Baals and the prophets? Oh man, that man was going full steam, building altars, calling down rain from heaven, and then having all of those Baal prophets killed. Oh my goodness, there was 400 of them. And then he had to flee for his life from the Queen Jezebel because those were her prophets and he just had them put to death. And he was in terror. You know, we think after we have wonderful victories that nothing's gonna bother us. Oh my goodness. After victories, we're often exhausted, and that's when the enemy comes in and gets us. And Elijah was no different. He fled from Jezebel in terror and exhaustion, and this is in 1 Kings 19. He fell asleep under a juniper tree. An angel woke him up and fed him. I like that. He slept again. The angel fed him again. I noticed the first time was an angel, a messenger from God, came and fed him. The second time it was the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, when we read the angel of the Lord, it is usually most likely referring to Jesus Christ himself as a theophany. Jesus came and ministered to him. He ministered to his exhausted prophet and servant. Elijah got up and he didn't have to eat or drink for another 40 days. And he went off and spent some sweet time getting to know the Lord. In Psalm 3, verse 5, the next picture, I love this picture. This is my grandson, Jose. You might know him as Joe. He's getting married in 2 weeks. So this was a while ago. And that's my husband's hand on top of his head. Psalm 3, verse 5 says, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Yes, our Lord knows and cares when we're exhausted and in need of physical restoration. If you don't have any idea of the how, the where, the when that can happen, ask him. He will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh to us today, those of us that love him, as he was to the disciples and to his prophets of old. The third thing I want to talk about is emotional and mental rest. I just put them together because so often they do connect in our lives. If I were to hazard a guess this morning, I would say like 99% of all of you women here have arrived carrying some emotional or mental burden. Perhaps a loved one is ill, or maybe even you. You are exhausted from worrying about a dear one in your life. You're facing financial distress. You're grieving. You're dealing with broken relationships. You feel far from God. You feel isolated, alone. Your inner self is distressed because of all the unknowns, the worries, the fears. There are countless reasons in this life to be emotionally or mentally stressed. Moses was in a tough spot. God had appointed him as leader to shepherd his people to the promised land, but they were a contrary, rebellious lot, and there was a million of them or more. Moses pleads with the Lord not to leave him alone with them because they had just pulled a big one, and God says, I'm done. You can go to the promised land, but you're going to go without me. And Moses said, please, I cannot do this without you. So here it, in this next verse, in Exodus 33, verse 14, it says, the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You see that picture? That was our backyard in Lebanon. And one morning I looked out the door and I saw the rising sun shining through that, I don't know if it's a, I guess it's a white birch tree. And you see it branched into three different tall branches. And I said, that's my Lord. He's present in my day. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord himself appeared, was talking with Moses. The Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And the more I looked at this passage, I kind of got the giggles because who's going to rest leading a million people through a desert? Like, come on now. Those were such welcome words to Moses. Before the tabernacle was built, Moses had a tent set up on the edge of the encampment where he would meet with the Lord. The Bible tells us that when Moses would come out, he often would have to put a veil over his face because his face was shining with the glory of the Lord, and the people couldn't bear to look on Moses' face. How amazing is that? It was his intimacy with the Lord that gave Moses the wisdom and courage and strength he needed to lead that multitude of Israel through the desert those 40 years. And they were a trial. The Lord himself is our rest in the trials and sufferings, the emotional and mental challenges of our days. Some years ago, we were going through a very traumatic time. I would awaken out of a sound sleep with my heart pounding and my chest tight. I would throw the covers back. My kids call these anxiety attacks. This next generation's got terms for everything. All I knew was what was happening to me. I would throw the covers back, go into the next room, kneel down beside the bed, and I would pour my heart out to the Lord. And I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray until his peace came. And then I could go back to sleep. Psalm 138, verse 3, the next picture is one of my favorite verses. Here's my husband looking down at the waves. We love going to the lake. In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Now that's a keeper. The next verse is, I forget the verse. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I took this in our Lebanon home during the years I was having seizures because often people would see me and immediately they would think seizures. And I would go, that's not the real me. That's just the shadow of what you see. The real me is bound up with the Lord. Seizures often interrupted my sleep and at times the meds caused dark side effects. I awakened in deep distress from a black void. It was scary. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my cry. Lord, if I must go through this, I cannot do it without your presence. from that time on. I have to tell you, it was exactly from that time on, right way back in Mission BC when the seizures came back with a vengeance. From that time on, whenever I would seizure, the Lord would give me a song. And it felt like I was hearing it back here. And then as I came around, it was like, it was carrying me forward out of that seizure. It was such a beautiful thing. I didn't live in the terror of those moments anymore because the Lord was reminding me that he was with me. The disciples were present when Jesus denounced those towns that he'd just been ministering in that refused him, even though they had seen his miracles and his word. The next picture is the beginning of the next few verses we're going to talk about. I guess I got it. It says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus had done these powerful miracles, but these towns did not repent. The worldly wise in them turned away from him. They made others turn away from them. The religious leaders hardened their hearts against Jesus. But then Jesus turned to those who believed in him, his dear followers, and they were truly hearing his heart. They were truly hearing his words. And he said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." No longer did they have to strive to keep the endless laws, the jots and the tittles that all of the Pharisees and the scribes had added, but they had found rest, true soul rest in Jesus. You see, God himself is our rest. Religion wants us to do. Jesus wants us to come because it is done. Remember his words on the cross? It is finished. And it truly is. The payment for the price of our sins is all done. This is the last rest I want to talk about, and it's spiritual rest. So we're going to go right from this verse to the next two. Thank you, Jen, for your help. So Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And the next one, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm a farm girl. I know what a yoke is. I don't know if you know what a yoke is, but a yoke is when you have two animals that are bound together, usually with a big wooden thing across and leather harnesses, and they pull a plow or they pull some other piece of equipment, or sometimes they pull a farm wagon. We can imagine Jesus pointing to a team of oxen pulling a plow in a field nearby and saying, "If you're yoked and you're teamed up with me, I will lead," because the stronger animal would lead the weaker animal in the team. "I will lead. I will teach you with gentleness, humbleness, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. It's not going to rub you raw. I'm going to bear it. My burden is light." In contrast to the demands of religion and the endless boxes to tick off on our to-do list, Jesus simply invites us to come to him. Jesus bore the weight of our sins on the cross. That word "weight" truly describes sin. If you're a believer in Jesus and you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're going to relate to what David went through in Psalm 51, where he cries out and he says, like, he just felt like his bones were just in agony because the conviction was so strong upon him. If God is convicting you of sin, just stop it, drop to your knees, and roll it off on the Lord. It's not worth carrying that burden or staying in that sin because it's agonizing. Jesus paid the price. He wants you to come back into fellowship with him. But perhaps you have a burden that you have never laid down to the Lord. Perhaps you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Jesus wants you to come. Come, repent. Repent means to acknowledge, to say, "Yes, I have done this. I want to turn away from it. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't stand the sins in my life." Come and receive his forgiveness. His invitation is for you. come and be teamed up with him and let him carry the load in this life. Jesus offers forgiveness, love, salvation, and rest from all of our sin that weighs us down. On this day, Wednesday, October 2nd, in 1991, my father died in his sleep with a massive heart attack. He went into the presence of Jesus. I used to play piano or organ or whatever when there was funerals. He would say, come on, Alice, we have a funeral. I sometimes didn't know the person, but I would play. If the person knew Jesus, I would often hear him say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And he'd go, do you know why it's precious? Because his kids are coming home. And I stood there and I looked, and he'd talk about how wonderful it was to fall asleep in Jesus. Can you imagine falling asleep on earth and waking up in glory? I walked into that bedroom and I looked at my father in his bed, the slight little smile on his face, and I said, Dad, you did it. God did it. God gave you your dream that you'd fall asleep on earth and wake up with him in glory. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had entered into his eternal rest, and he was definitely resting from all of his labors. He worked. It's a miracle he didn't have boots on in that bed. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we were just here the other day with Grace and Edwin, but then the goodness and loving kindness, that's at Hiawatha, I forgot the name, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, our own self-righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. I love this. We could never work enough. We could never work enough to make it to heaven. There's always something between, because our righteousness is like filthy rags, God says. It's just, we can just never be good enough. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, the next one, it says, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. It goes right back to the beginning. Remember, God had made his beautiful creation. He saw that it was good, and he rested. He ceased from his works. When we come to Jesus, he is our rest. We don't have to keep trying to be right with God. He's done it all. We accept what he has done on our behalf. We turn from our sins. We tell him thank you. After salvation, what we do with our lives in our works shows the rest of the world that we belong to Jesus. We are not working to earn our salvation. We are living it out to bring him joy so that others might come to know Jesus too. And then the last picture is of a tree in bloom in that beautiful Liburn Valley. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. The rest that God promises to us is found in him through Jesus for now and for all eternity. Have you found rest from your sins in coming in repentance and experiencing his great love and forgiveness through Jesus? Are you experiencing his rest as you live each day in intimacy with him through his word and prayer? Now we must choose. We must choose to rest in him, to wait patiently for him, and to fret not. I'm not good at the last one. Sometimes we have no choices in the waiting. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. But the fretting, I can do a good piece of that. So we choose to rest because we believe in him. We wait patiently for him, asking him for that patience and not fretting with the things that haven't changed. Rest isn't something that just happens. Rest in all areas of our lives comes by clinging to Jesus. He is our source and he is our place of rest. So let's pray, and then I'm just going to have a song played for us to meditate on. Let's rejoice together in the goodness of our God in providing us rest in every area of our lives if we but believe. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you that you provide for all of our needs, that you are exactly who you say you are. And no matter the trauma, the exhaustion, the repentance from sin and forgiveness that we need, you just tell us to come. And when we come, you are sufficient and you are our rest. We thank you, Father. I pray for hearts of the ladies here, that whoever has not found rest in Jesus as Savior, that they would find rest and hope in him today. And whoever is struggling with sin or grief or sorrows that are overwhelming them today, help them to come to you and find rest in you as they continue walking with you, Jesus. I know you are all sufficient. Please show yourself powerful to those waiting on you here today. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jen.